keep it locked on Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150-939 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, sometimes I feel guilty. Sometimes I feel guilty because I bring you into my world on a consistent basis. People, I live a life of positive momentum, positive energy. People, I do things in my life to will great results as often as possible. But you know what I do? I drag people into my life that don't deserve it. In a good way. Like, you don't deserve to be as positive as me if you're not going to maintain that level of energy. I do things for you that go unnoticed. Right now, we're about to play Florida State. You need toughness and taking care of the ball. People, I'm going to will the energy by bringing in a guest to join us on Midday with Marcus Maben. Welcome, Ellis Miles, to the show. Ellis, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, Maben? Appreciate you having me on today, man.
No, anytime, anytime. Listen, we need your energy. We need your expertise. We need a lot from you as a fan base, the people who are all in and the people who are just casual observers. Before we get into all that stuff, I'm just curious, what's a regular game day Wednesday like for Ellis Miles right now?
Well, we just, you know, I'm coaching middle school ball out at Ramsey Middle School. That's one of the best things that I ever could have did. Really, really enjoyed it, man, and had a game yesterday. And you asked that question, we sit over there undefeated right now at 6-0 and play one of the better middle schools probably in the state of Kentucky, here right here in Louisville, Barrett Middle School, on Thursday. Have an unbelievable team, and we played them in the King of the Bluegrass, and I'm just looking at a film, and it's middle school ball, and it's like, man, I can't believe it.
Wait. Are you sitting in
middle school team?
Are you sitting in the middle of your day looking at film of Thursday's opponent?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, because that's how bad I want to beat them. You know, we lost once in the King of the Bluegrass of less than 3 weeks ago, and you know, my boys, they put up with me every day, getting after them, and I just want them to have a special season this year, and my first year there and their first year dealing with me.
Let me ask you this. How do they respond to film and scouting report? I mean, your age range is what, you know, is 12?
12 to 14 years old.
12 to 14. So are you introducing them to, like, following scouting reports, or are your players in today's time kind of used to having to do film?
Well, no, I mean, at the middle school level, it's kind of difficult because you don't have anybody that you really can hire to come and do something. If it's not a parent there taping their son's game, then it's kind of difficult. And that was one of the tournaments that we actually had a parent that taped every game, you know. So it's a little difficult, but I have got out and seen some of the different middle school teams play, so I'm able to come back with the things that I take away from those games and try to instill it in those guys so we can go out and perform at a high level, and that's what they've done up to now.
Talking with Ellis Miles here on 93.9. So at that age, you can just tell them what to expect and hope they remember it?
Well, I really don't even think it's telling them, and I don't – this thing is just this age. I think with 12 to 18 years old, these kids need to really see it. They have to visually see it. You know, it's hard for them to see it on tape and then go out there on the court and do it. If you can just take it and just do it all on the court and just show them and break it down, then I think it's just easier for them to understand this with this generation. You know, when I played, it was, you know, different. You know, it was film. You know, but now it seems a lot easier when you're able just to break it down, you know, on the court with those guys.
Well, you made a talking with Ellis Miles here on 93.9. You made a perfect transition into 18 when you played. Now, the elephant in the room, things that everybody know, you were here with me in a transition between coaches. Yes. That's an unavoidable conversation. And we've had you on the show. You kind of spoke about things, but I had to make the point earlier that, in hindsight, Rick could do no wrong, you know, and he just and he just won from the beginning. You had a tough first year under Rick Pitino with guys that could really play, right?
Oh, for sure.
Right. So,
for sure. Okay. In 01.
You're right. That's what I'm talking about. So what was that transition like? Because you were obviously doing the work part of it, but it wasn't like just converting into wins so much. What was the toughest thing you faced from the work to turning them into wins your first year under Rick Pitino?
It was totally a big change for myself. Just playing for Crum as a true freshman, starting as a true freshman, feeling I can do no wrong. You know, being overweight, we didn't have the roster, so I had to step in there and play. And, you know, I was looking for a situation as a freshman where I can play right away. And it just happened that I worked hard and I, you know, got a starting position. You know, 01, it was a big transition because I had to get under 10% body fat or I was on the next flight back to Compton.
Right.
You know, so it was, do I want to do this? Or do I want to go back to Compton and try to figure some things out and not be able to do the things that, you know, I came here to do? And that was to play basketball at a place that has great tradition, you know. So it was, you know, I was kind of nice guy in Crum and then this tough guy in Pitino that I really didn't know but just always heard of.
Now when we go revisionist, we know that worked for you, but we also right. know – that did not work for some other players. You know, I know it's kind of hard to you to speak from a position where it didn't work for somebody because it worked so well and it's been so valuable for you. How do you balance that out to say, okay, I can be, you know, I can be the bad guy? Because, you know, that's what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about the contrast between coaching styles. In your opinion, does it work any other way? Because you're tough on your guys as well. Do you think...
I'm tough.
that was such a sinister laugh right there. But here's the thing. Being tough, they do allow you to be tough on them. Yes?
Well, they do. And that's the good thing because they understand that Ellis is going to be anal. He wants it this way. If you do it this way, he's going to be the first person to applaud. He's going to be the first one to run out there and chest bump you and bump you back 4 or 5 steps. They understand that. They understand in between those lines how I want it. Outside those lines, we want to have the most fun we can have. You know, and I think the parents understand that because these kids are so into playing down to their competition level. They don't want to hurt their friends' feelings, you know. So I'm that guy that pushed that button to really make them say, F Ellis, and I'm finna show him.
Oh, so you purposely make yourself the best. So you're like Major Payne out there, right?
Yeah. If that's what you want to name me, I mean, hey, I'll take that name. But I know I get the most from my guys. They perform. They respect what I do, and I love it.
Talking with Ellis Miles here on 93.9. Okay, so now we have to make the natural transition. What do you think with this team right now, this University of Louisville team? How much of the bad guy? Because that's one of the narratives. How much of the bad guy is missing, you know, or how much of the mentality do you need out of your players? Because we've talked, you know, we had lunch recently. We kind of talked about the shared responsibility for the guys just being tougher inside and the coach, you know, either trying to bring out the toughness or putting in tougher guys. Like, where do you see that balance going forward?
Well, as we talk about the transition with me in 2001 and playing underneath Pitino, I was named a captain in my sophomore year, but I was one of the guys that was supposed to be gone. So I was able to get that respect from my teammates
but that
and
was
my
more,
coaches.
So that was more about you than Pitino. Because like I said, you never had a problem with toughness. You know, maybe you would say, okay, mentally
but
tough.
But I was able to instill that in my guys. My guys knew that it wasn't going to be me moving out the way when I could take a charge. They knew if it was somebody coming to the hole, if I wasn't able to get there to take the charge, they was going to shoot 2 free throws and think about it. You know, my teammates knew if they hit the ground, I was the first one to run over there and push somebody out the way. You know, right now I'm just not seeing that from anybody on the team right now. I don't see anybody who's stepping up and being that leader and not worrying about points, who's shooting the ball, who should be in the game. I think it's just too many other things being worried about than just knowing your role in playing basketball. That's what I see.
Oh, okay. So, well, let me ask you this. I mean, that's an excellent point. Talking with Ellis Miles here on 93.9. Of course, we say that's a shared responsibility. How much of that is in the players? I mean, just like I said, we're not asking you to throw anybody under the bus or anything like that. But how much of that would you say I need to talk to the players? And how much of that is, coach, you're going to have to stay on these guys a little tougher because maybe they need harder coaching?
I think you get a couple of those guys that you really know that everybody on that team respects. And you try to get those guys to touch the rest of those guys on that team where it doesn't have to come from that coach. You know, I would rather sit back as a coach and just be even keel and my guys get after that other guy. You know, I would really love that, you know. And I think, yes, maybe David does need to get after those guys in some instance in different situations, but I have seen him get after those guys. Those guys haven't responded when he get after them. Mm-hmm. So as I hear the comments and everything that's said, you know, sit them down. If you're not going to respond and respect what I'm asking you to do, I'm going to sit you down. Because we do have guys, and we have a deep roster where I feel some other guys can come in and going to light a fire underneath some of those other guys to play. And that is something that we have had in the past. And I'm not saying that that's something that we have to have every game, but right now we need some fire lit underneath some guys. You know, like tonight. Like, we have to perform tonight, or I don't know where we'll end up in the ACC.
Talking with Ellis Miles here on 93.9, is that guy, if that guy's on this team, or if there's two of them, who are those guys that you would, if you, Coach Ellis Miles, had hold of this team, which guys would you call into your office and say, unless you guys turn into our leaders, we cannot succeed moving forward?
Raymond Spalding and Dangadale. And the reason why I say that, because they've got all the hype up until now. So, therefore, those other guys are going to respect those guys, man. You know, Quentin is like my little brother. I love him to death, respect everything that he does. But Quentin is not that vocal guy. So it can't come from him. You know, Dangadale and Ray Spalding, I think those are two guys that you really got to get through to, because they're on the court the majority of the minutes. They play big minutes, and those are two big centerpieces of this team. And we have to have those guys lead us and everybody else follow.
Talking with Ellis Miles here on 93.9. Well, it's interesting you bring up Dangadale. I mean, people, he gets a lot of the lightning rod criticism, you know, his defense, you know, maybe not rebounding, the turnovers. Like, do you think that having Dangadale, who is supposed to be your guy, playing so bad, does that cause the rest of the team to kind of start looking elsewhere for leadership? I mean, can Dangadale be that guy? But with him playing so bad,
You can't play good every game. I played with one of the best players I ever played at Louisville and Reese Gaines, you know, and Francisco Garcia. I didn't see them perform every single game at their best. They had some nights off. You know, Dangadale, I think, is taking a lot on his shoulders to perform, you know, because he's been there the last 2 years. He's played big minutes the last 2 years, and I think he just wants to win so bad that he's trying to just carry this team, and he can't do it by himself.
Oh, okay. You know? Okay, to your point. So you think he's more pressing than being selfish?
I think he's pressing to get us victories, and that's it. I don't think he's pressing for the NBA. I think he's just pressing to get stuff done when we're struggling and we're stagnant, and he's trying to get stuff done. And he's probably the most aggressive right now. And that's why sometimes it may come off bad, because he's the most aggressive on the offensive end.
Well, talking with Ellis Miles here on 93.9. Well, let's transition to the defense a little bit. You know, we've seen at times, I've actually seen some of your teams, and the funnest part is to watch you actually coach defense. When you watch this team defensively at stretches, they seem like they have the potential to be an absolute, you know, lockdown wall defense, and sometimes they seem like they can't communicate at all. What are the problems you see on defense? Is it just aggression? Is it system, or do they just lack the ability, the lateral movement to be a great defensive team consistently?
Well, I think we're so interchangeable. I think we need to play more man-to-man defense, you know, because I think we can guard. We're very, very long, you know, I know we want to keep guys out of foul trouble, but right now, you know, in college, people are just making three after three, and not just against us, but just all around college basketball. That three-point line is becoming very easy now. And, you know, the intensity isn't there, but, you know, you have to have somebody to bring that defense intensity, like a Otis George that we had when I played, you know. So I think that we are missing that guy that just lays it on the line when he gets in there, and he's just defensive-minded.
Let me ask you about finishing, because that's one other thing. Talking with Ellis Miles here on 93.9, we seem to struggle with getting the ball and just going vertical and getting fouled. I know it's funny because you and I both watched the game, and it seems like even before your percentage was elevated, you still would pump fake to get fouls. You would look for contact, and not just because you were a bigger guy. Everybody seemed to want to go to the free throw line. What is it about this team that seems to avoid contact so much? Is that just the way they grew up playing the game, or is it just something that needs to be taught a little or you know, emphasized a little more?
I think it needs to be emphasized a little bit more, you know, getting to the rim. I think we do settle for a lot of jump shots, but I'm not there. I don't know what the offense is. You know, I think, you know, it does go inside. You know, it's supposed to go inside to outside, but I think it never goes back in there for us to attack to get, you know, fouls, and we're not getting, you know, a lot of penetration where we're getting to that rim, and when we do, we just haven't got the calls. But I think, you know, we are attacking at times to get fouled, but it never goes our way. You know, and when I played, it was always, you know, I always thought like a coach. I knew if I got fouled, I was able to get a blow without the coach having to call a timeout. I'm able to stop the momentum. You know, is it just we're able to get in our press? And that's just the stuff that I would like to see us more, get in our press, man. But if we can't score, we can't get in our press. I think we need some more easy buckets in transition.
Right.
You know, need just some more downhill action to the basket right now, you know.
Talking with Ellis Miles here on 93.9. Now, two more questions before I get you out of here. You don't sound in any way like you're panicking for the sake of the team.
No, I don't. I don't. You know, I really, really feel confident in tonight. You know, starting 0-2, you know, now we're on the road in Tallahassee. I feel these guys are really going to get it going, man, because we have a team that can be very successful this year. But we just have to become a team. And when that happens and everybody's rolling on the same page, everybody knows their role, nobody's upset about minutes or if they should be in, we're going to be a hell of a team, and that's going to come. David is going to get those guys' attention along with the rest of that staff, and it's going to happen. I truly believe that, man. I really do.
Talking with Ellis Miles here on 93.9. Now, Ellis, you have to be my ear to the street. You have to be my you know, my feet on the ground when we talk about, you know, what's up and coming in the youth aspect of Louisville basketball. Like, people don't realize, like I said, when you say Quentin is my little brother, like, people don't realize how connected you are to all of youth sports. And that's why, you know, I'm glad you got a lot of things working moving forward. But what's on the horizon? Because a lot of Louisville fans are, like, just itching to get back to the days where they were producing America's talent. You know, they were producing players who are going to go to Louisville. Because, again, the elephant in the room, if Louisville gets more sanctions or anything, you're going to have to be in a position to get kids who love Louisville and grew up here and play here. How do you, you know, what do you see in the future? Do you see kids, you know, more enjoying Louisville or supporting Louisville? And what do you see as far as the landscape? Like, are these kids good?
Yeah, I think we got a lot of local talent right here in the state of Kentucky. I really do. You know, I see it all during the week, you know, spring and summer. A lot of those guys from the state are playing with me. You know, the kid that plays for one of the best high school coaches in the state of Kentucky, and Mike Zabel at Trinity, David Johnson, I mean, he's a unbelievable player. He's a 4-star. You know, this spring or summer, he can maybe be a 5-star. I know he was once committed to Louisville and decommitted when everything happened. I know he is showing interest again. And I think that's a starting piece right there if you can get that kid back on board.
Right.
You know, you have some pieces down in Lexington, you know, and the Mike Marino kid that plays for a great coach and Billy Hicks. I mean, it's some pieces around it. You have Kiki Tandy down there in Hopkinsville at University Heights, who's another great talent. I mean, it's talented kids around here. And, you know, my kids are young, But, you know, there's some great freshmen playing for James Shula over at Fern Creek High School, and Jaden Rogers, you know, Darius Washington. You know, these kids, when I first started this program, they were small. Now these kids are starting to become 6'2", you know, as freshmen. And, you know, I just see that those bodies are going to continue to grow. And I think it's very important right now that, you know, the university makes those relationships with the right high school coaches and maybe the right AAU coaches, because you're going to have to lean on those guys if they come down with any sanctions on the university, because we are the guys that see these kids all during the day. You know, we help these kids with rides from practice to practice, and, you know, these kids lean on us, you know, for different things, and their parents do as well, you know, for advice. And I think that time is coming where we have to really get these local guys over to that university and get this place back rolling.
Talk with Ellis Miles. I'm going to get you out of here. Listen, we have a lot of people who are going to call in, who are going to send me messages and inboxes. They're going to say, how do I help Ellis Miles and how do I get in contact with him for AAU conversation, advice, anything? Like, do you have a contact that you want to give out to let everybody know where they can reach you?
You can go to our website, LouisvilleMagicBasketball.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Email address is emiles02@yahoo.com. Those are three ways to get in contact with us. Like I said, I'm coaching middle school. I'm at all the high school games, so it's not hard to find a big 6'8 guy that's very loud, you know. So I'm here.
Well, Ellis, listen, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, man, to fill us in and kind of, you know, drop a little bit of advice, man. Listen. And make sure the wife's okay. Don't work too hard. Keep everybody sane.
He's doing well. I appreciate that.
All right. That was Ellis Miles. I appreciate that. Who joined us on 93.9? A lot of stuff to digest. He's not hitting the panic button. And I got to tell you, I'm always very relieved when I tell you it's not time to hit the panic button. And then Coach Jerry Jones tells you it's not time to hit the panic button. And Bob Valvano, it's not time to hit the panic button. And Ellis Miles, is not time to hit the panic button. No panic buttons today. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number.
On Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station, people. The weather has technically officially gotten colder. So now it's time for you to save $1,000 on the train comfort system at DFH Company from now until mid-December. DFH Company will give $1,000 off a new train comfort system or ask them about really low financing. It's hard to stop a train, and it's hard not to call DFH Company today at 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Visit dfhcompany.com for complete program eligibility, dates, details, and restrictions subject to credit approval. People, I tried to give you that Ellis Miles energy. I tried to transfer that Ellis Miles energy to this team. I need it. I need them to channel. I need Coach to put in the Ellis Miles tape and say, this is how I need you to act, Honest. It's not funny. I shouldn't have laughed about that.
What's up?
I needed Ellis. I needed Honest Mahmood to channel his inner Ellis Miles.
Man, not a lot of people can do that. I'm just going to say. Man, Ellis brings it sometimes.
Sometimes.
I don't know if I could match his enthusiasm up there on the court.
Right. I was just thinking, listen, I'm setting up a show, and I'm like, who do I need and who does this fan base need to hear from right at this moment? And there was one guy who absolutely, you know, who came to mind. But you know, something else I have to discuss or tell everybody, people. Gordon Food Supply is hiring. This is breaking news, people. Gordon Food Service is the largest family-owned food service distributor in the United States. and is looking for full-time Class A CDL drivers. The position pays a minimum of $1,025 per week on only a four-day work week. With only two overnight routes per week, drivers will be delivering food to our regional chain restaurant customers. GFS, Gordon Food Supply, is looking for people with excellent customer service skills and the desire for a rewarding career. They offer outstanding benefits with profit sharing, ding, 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 401k match, and much more. GFS, Gordon Food Supply, provides our drivers with confidence with excellent, well-maintained equipment and unlimited growth opportunities. I'm really enjoying being able to pass along good jobs. This sounds like a career change you're looking for. Please log on to and apply at www.gfs.com and go to the career section or call area code 502-215-1049. So people, because I'm relaxed a little bit now and Steve Rummage has left the building, I allowed my mind to wander during the break. I was talking about people channeling their inner Ellis Miles, and then, you know, I kind of thought about the role play, you know, guys on this team. Then I said, who would play Ellis Miles on this team? And then I thought, who would Marcus Maben be on this team? Probably Dingadell.
Yeah, you're Dingadell for sure. Like, that was an easy one. I could not name you an Ellis Miles.
But
I don't think there is an
Dangadel,
Ellis Miles.
But Dingadell, he won't dunk on anybody. Dwayne Sutton's probably the Ellis Miles
Dingadell
on this
dunks
team.
On people.
No, he dunks.
He dunks not on people.
Not on people.
Okay.
He has to. He's still riding that Michigan dunk wave. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Well, what about VJ King?
If VJ King doesn't start dunking on somebody, I know something.
All right. Well, you're closest to Dingadell. I'll keep it at that.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, there's not really a Marcus Maben on this team either.
I'm going to get fouled. I'm going to get fouled. We shoot, you know, any 6'7". My God, I'd still be playing if I was 6'7".
I don't think there's an Ellis on the team.
There is no Ellis on the team. No. And then, you know what? I went into the transition where, well, Brian, I have to ask you this question. Just only because I allow my mind to wander. 38-31-93-9. I'm gonna need you people to be quick on the Twitter, quick on the text. We need emergency response to this question right now. Brian, who would play Marcus Maben in the Marcus Maben movie?
Oh.
People, I need your help right now. The question came out through, you know, it came out of my mind, and I'm going to die if you don't help me out with this. Because you know what I did? You know what I did, Brian? How arrogant is it for me to say, Will Smith?
Will Smith.
Listen, Will Smith is the only person that can play Marcus Maben in the Marcus Maben story. Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith.
I thought Common, too.
Because you don't really... Common?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was in Just Right. I heard the really ladies liked him in Just Right.
You can't go the Denzel Washington route or anything like that.
Nope.
Yeah, because you're gonna have to go younger. You're too tall to be a Kevin Hart.
And who else could play off the young and mature Marcus Maben better than Will Smith?
Nobody can. Well, you know, Will Smith plays probably just about everybody.
He's gonna cost so much. My God,
just a few million. What about What about Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Ew. What do you have me looking like, radio?
Hey, I'm just saying. Like radio.
I don't want to be radio. My God.
Sorry.
Michael Jordan from Creed.
Yeah. You could go Michael Jordan, the actor.
He's a little too swole. He can't be insecure, skinny freshman Marcus Maben. I don't know if he... See, we know Will Smith, but he'll put on 100 pounds to go play Ali, and he'll lose 100 pounds and look like Chris Rock. You know, like, he's committed. Michael Jordan from Creed. You know what you would have to do, too? You would have to definitely do the camera angles with Michael Jordan and Common. You'd have to put him in stilt shoes and stuff like that. But I don't know. On the court, I did look pretty short. I saw some videos. Will Smith. Got to be Will Smith. Are you on the Twitter or the text line?
No. What about I'm on Google. You know, searching. What about Lee Thompson? He plays the famous Jed Jackson.
Ah.
We're on to something.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I like the Jed Jackson. He could be Marcus. He could do that.
I think he could pull it off.
Nick Cannon.
Maybe. I could see Nick Cannon.
Maybe.
Yeah. Nick Cannon's a little bit taller too.
Yeah, he's slim framing. When he gets in shape, he could pull it off, because you know they're gonna make you get in real good shape. You know, gotta be in good shape. You wanna mimic me? You know, we gotta make it believable. Nick Cannon.
I do like Michael B. Jordan too. That's a good one.
Who would play Mariah? No, this is the Marcus Maven story. Now, unless you know something and Mariah's gonna be in the future of Marcus Maven, okay. Yeah, if Mariah's gonna be in the future, then yeah, we're gonna need somebody to play Mariah, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Nick Cannon is okay. Who would play Steve Rummage in the Steve Rummage story?
Oh man. Chris Farley, if he was around.
Oh, that is going to be the promo for next week, Brian. I'm telling. You think he's listening to that right now?
Probably.
He probably just cursed when you said that.
He's like, no, man.
You know, there's nothing funnier when he said his mom dressed him up as Cartman as a child. You don't recover from that. So Steve can be here as confident as all get out. But, yeah, you can go ahead and grab that. Right. Somebody with Seth Rogen on Steve Rummage. Y'all people, you do know
Kevin James.
You do know this is my goals, people. I got to look at this man. Just in case Steve Rummage has a bit of a complex, because he's a hefty-sized guy. You know? I mean, not hefty. He's big-boned. You know, let's just say he's kind of big-boned. Seth Rogen?
Yeah, because Steve's like, he's not – fat. He's big boned.
He's distributed.
Yeah, no, like I wouldn't call him fat at all.
Right.
But he's a bigger guy.
But you can tell he's at some point in his life had to just make a life decision to get really healthy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If he didn't run 2-3 miles a day, he'd blow up like a balloon.
Yeah. I still think he stays in good shape though,
Right. And again, he's ankle to neck evenly distributed. You know what I'm saying? He's not like when he says how much he weighs, I'm like, it's a lot of weight.
But you wouldn't guess.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. He definitely looks skinnier than the number says.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But people, easy with who would play Steve Rummage in the Steve Rummage movie? And I've already settled on Will Smith is the only person that could play me. But I am open to suggestions, because you do know after the book comes out, the Marcus Maven, you know, story, you do know this is instantly getting made into a movie. Like, y'all do realize that, right? Like, do your research. Check my background. This is a movie. It's got to be a movie. Lawrence, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
Does Steve know Lee Thompson did pass away, right?
Does he know? Say
the
one.
The guys who played Jed Jackson, he passed away.
Oh, no.
No, did he really?
No, you know what? I think I may have heard that. Yeah, his girlfriend, right? Maybe.
Lee Thompson.
No, see, I didn't know that. Jonah Hill, ouch.
I thought Lawrence was talking about Chris Farley. I know Chris Farley passed away.
No, yeah, no, Lawrence, I appreciate the call. Was he just, oh, no, Jamie. You know what? Somebody just put Jamie Foxx, right? Somebody put Jamie Foxx to play me, but.
Yeah, Lee Thompson Young passed away on August 19th, 2013.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Maybe I did know that, but it just kind of flew under my radar. Somebody says Jamie Foxx. Here's the problem with Jamie Foxx.
It was a suicide.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx, here's the problem. Can you imagine, and people, I really shudder that I'm saying this publicly, but you can ask my teammates about this sometime. I'm going to tell a story that I'm not very proud of. I'm very, very embarrassed about, as a matter of fact. But it was so funny to me and my teammates. Now, Coach Crum was known to hold me to a higher standard than other players. And everybody knew that. And it was kind of funny. I was the I was the martyr a lot of times for an angry, because to Coach Crum, I was the only person that supposedly knew better, right? Nobody else knew better. It used to make me so mad. Coach, what you yelling at me for? They did it, right? But you know better, Marcus, so you get in trouble. So when Coach would say something and walk away, a young, slightly arrogant at times, Marcus Maben would look to his teammates and say, "Don't you know I'm Willie Beeman?"
He's really fiending.
People, Beeman. Whenever Coach Crum would walk away, I used to be like, "Man, my name is Willie. I'm Willie Beeman. I keep the ladies. If you think you can defeat me, you're dreaming." And I used to sing that song to my teammates just enough so the coaches might hear me and might not. What a little prick. I love to be Willie Beeman at times, people. That, what a shame. Big Mike, thanks for joining us on 93.9.
Hey, what's up, Megan?
Chilling. Fire away.
Hey, folks. No, just keep it.
Say that again.
I said, just keep in mind, when you play, that's when I really fell in love with U of M sports. So just keep it in mind. Forrest Whitaker.
Where does Forrest Whitaker come from?
He has the peanut butter complexion.
I mean, has he acted in anything you've ever seen that makes you think Forrest Whitaker? What was he? Ghost Dog? Right? Forrest Whitaker. Listen, there's no way I can do a Forrest Whitaker. Look, I appreciate the call, Big Mike. People. So okay, of course somebody says, they're just picking any black dude to play Marcus. Yeah, when you say Forrest, outside of the box, Brian. I got a new one. The new nominee to play Marcus Maben in the Marcus Maben story. Oh.
I'm trying to make sure that this is edited.
Right. That. Oh.
Whoops, we'll drop that.
Cut it. I got a new nominee.
All right.
Who's in a close second. This guy actually might be better. This might be a groundbreaking idea. Y'all ready for this one? Dave Chappelle.
Oh, boy. He fits the build.
Dave Chappelle. And it would be outside. And he's decently athletic if he stops chain smoking all the time.
It's pretty funny.
He's really funny.
He's
funny.
But I did get a question posed by a caller. Who would play Denny Crum? Tough call.
I don't know, Texters. Who would play Denny Crum?
Need some thoughts on Denny.
Nick Nolte? Oh. Either Nick Nolte or, not for my cold dead head, Clint Eastwood. Younger Clint Eastwood, people. Younger Clint Eastwood. Republican speech Clint Eastwood. Easy. I like Chappelle, though. Somebody else co-signed Chappelle. And Chappelle, he would show everybody Benicio del Toro for Steve? What?
No.
What? Do you know who Benicio del Toro is? Steve can't get that. He can't get sexy Italian-looking Benicio del Toro for Steve Rubin. Nicky Valvano, we're coming up with people to play me and Steve in the Marcus story or the Steve Rummage story. And somebody said Benicio del Toro for Steve Rummage. No.
That's not a knock on Steve either.
Gary Bussey. Harrison Ford. Perfect. Harrison Ford for Denny Crum. Yeah, that's perfect. What about Dave Chappelle for me?
Yeah, I could go with that.
I like that.
Don Cheadle. I like him too.
Dwayne Martin. No, he can't have it. He got too much props on above the rim. He doesn't get to go. Who I got? I got Philly Collins. I appreciate it, Nikki.
I'm trying to think of a good one for Steve.
Listen, you don't want to know the first couple. The first couple for Steve mess you up real good.
What we got?
You know, name your pudgy actor and it'll be Steve.
John Goodman?
I didn't think. I heard. I heard Zac Efron. Now John Goodman. Stevie has some really pudgy candidates. I said, listen, Dave Chappelle and Will Smith are the only two that can play me.
Seth Rogen.
You know somebody went Seth Rogen instantly.
Dude, Seth got in shape, man.
I know. They went with Pudgy's show. Let me get to this phone. I appreciate it, y'all. Philly Call, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
Man, at first I told Brian I was thinking Bill Bellamy for you, but then I thought about it. I said, nah, man. Ray Allen, Jesus Shuttlesworth. Then I thought about how Steve looked, and I said, a little actor, I said, man, it could probably do Steve, Nicolas Cage, and Ray Allen. Because they could probably pull it off, man.
Philly, I appreciate the call. Ray Allen sucked. He sucked, and he got game. That was the worst over-under acting I've ever seen in my life. Even his sex scene sucked. Ray Allen looks so uncomfortable. You know what? That might make him perfect, because I was uncomfortable on my trips around women, so. Ray Allen sucked. He got game. I wish you was letting Denzel Washington work you. He looked old in that too. Dustin, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
What's going on, Marcus? You doing good?
Chilling.
So I'm thinking, well, actually, before I give my suggestions for the roles, the more important question would be, who would play Drew Deaner? And I guess technically he's your boss, so we got to be careful.
No, he has a good sense of humor. We'll throw him under the bus like anybody else.
All right. So I'm going to go LL Cool J and the dude that played Norm from Cheers.
For Steve?
Yeah.
Steve's not going to be happy about that.
Minus, you know, sitting at the bar drinking beer. I mean,
right. Not Cheers.
Right.
Not the Cheers. But that's fair enough. I appreciate the call, Dustin. I just got another one. Listen, I could go LL Cool J. He's too swole, though. LL Cool J got it.
Yeah, he's more of a football player.
Yeah, he's going to have to lose 30 pounds, 40 pounds.
I agree.
Shamar Moore.
All right.
Shamar Moore. Did somebody put Shamar Moore for Steve Rummage? Ouch. I'm getting – no. All right, so Shamar Moore is mine.
I got a question. Has Denny Crum got a little bit of humor side up to him?
Of course he does.
What about a Steve Martin?
That's the Steve Martin would be the perfect Denny Crum.
Steve Martin, Denny Crum.
Yep. I mean, Harrison Ford would have been great, too. Like, those are great.
Harrison Ford, there you go.
No, Damon Wayans. No, I seen him try to look athletic. And
yeah, both the Wayans brothers.
What was the movie Damon Wayans was in trying to be a basketball player? It wasn't. Oh.
For Love and Basketball.
No. He was in there with, first of all, Damon Wayans. Where he was in New England, he was playing for the Celtics. What's the movie where Damon Wayans
Celtic
played for
Pride?
The Celtic Pride? Okay, that was easy. And he was in the movie Last Boy Scout, and he sucked. He wasn't convincing as a football player, and he wasn't convincing as a basketball player. H-E double hockey sticks to Damon Wayans. I didn't know this show was going to get me worked up. Omar Epps, no. I heard about him on Love and Basketball. I'd never seen it before, but I heard he was whack. I saw the previews. Is it Love and Basketball? Yeah, I saw the previews. Yes, people. I've never seen Love and Basketball because I don't do movies when the guys are not convincing. Omar Epps is not convincing. No, I've never seen Love and Basketball. Don't make me feel guilty about it. Don't Love and Basketball. I haven't seen Shame Me. The Sixth Man, that had Marlon Wayans in it, not Damon Wayans. That was terrible. Sixth Man. Juwanna Man? Who was that dude that played in that movie? He could probably do it, even though I hate it. Ooh. Ooh. If you want to make me blush, look up top 25 sexiest actors. Ooh. I read that. I see what you did there. Yes. No Love and Basketball. I've never seen it. I don't plan on seeing it, but I'm sure. At some point, some girl's going to make me watch it. Just on principle.
What about Wesley Snipes back from when White Men Can't Jump? You know, if it was in his prime.
I had a mouth on me. I had a mouth on me. Wesley Snipes in the talking department, right? You know what? It's one of my biggest fears is leftover boom mics, right? During my time, when they start putting those boom mics right near the, you know, one day somebody's going to go get these college games, right? And they're going to like super close up on the boom mics, the audios. And that's my biggest fear. Like that time that your mom came to the AAU game or the you know, the street tournament game, right? Where you're out there, the girls are out there, the dudes are out there, and the drug dealers are over there. You know, those games. The first time my mom came to one of those games, she was like, boy, I'm glad you know when you can talk like that and when you can't. But we did break the ice. Michael Rappaport for Steve Rummage. Michael B. Jordan. Love and Basketball was good. Yeah, I heard. But I've only heard it from non-basketball players. I need basketball players to confirm Love and Basketball. Tyson? No. No.
No.
No. Dude to play Jackie Robinson.
He'd have to get rid of his tattoos, man.
I don't have any tattoos.
That's what I'm saying.
Tyson
would.
What are they going to Bow Wow?
He's got it all in his face.
T.I. can play me.
T.I., okay. You're a big 24s fan.
Yeah, look, T.I. can play me. Just give him the stilts.
Ice Cube.
He's really short. No, Ice Cube. He can't shoot a jump shot, right? Nick Cannon. Somebody said Nick Cannon. Jared, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. Fire away.
Hey, guys. Well, I mean, you could shut down the Rummage thing right now because John Goodman would be absolutely perfect.
Oh, but are you not worried about Steve Rummage's feelings right now?
No, it's not about the look. I mean, John Goodman's too old to play him and everything. It's really all about the voice and just like the aura, you know, like it's just like I can imagine John Goodman given a Steve Rummage rant on the radio and just like, I don't know, just the way they both act. I mean, you know, they just, I don't know. I think that's a perfect call. For Denny, I was thinking, I don't know if do you know who Mel Brooks is?
Of course we know who Mel Brooks is.
What do you think about Denny, Mel Brooks?
Listen, Harrison Ford is hard to beat. You know, listen, between Harrison Ford and Steve Martin, yeah, it's hard to replace those. No, you can't go Mel Brooks.
Those are my two castings. So.
I appreciate it. See,
what about
John Goodman? You can't do that. You do realize Steve Rummage. You need a younger Steve Rummage too, like an all-state tight end, Steve Rummage, like a scholarship level D1 level tight end. You know, you got to have a guy be able to jump up and down the weights a little bit.
Intern Mitchell came up with an idea. What about a Vince Vaughn with a little bit of weight on him?
Vince Vaughn is much more like it. And Vince Vaughn can fluctuate. You know, he can be lovable, cute guy, you know, when he drops 30 pounds, and then he can be big, kind of hefty.
He gets the best of both worlds that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now Vince
Vaughn. And he's got the humor like Rummage. He gets fired up like Rummage.
Yes, a little sarcastic. Vince Vaughn goes, Idris Elba.
So we're gonna come to a final answer maybe tomorrow on the best bets. So tweet us tonight.
Yeah.
Tweet Maben 939, Brian Hall ESPN, at Steve Rummage, and give us your best suggestions.
People, we're gonna be back here at 8 o'clock tonight. You tune in. Hey, we're right here across the street from 502 Cafe. You do realize 1923 South 4th Street is the famous 502 Cafe. You do realize they have everything you want. If you didn't go there last game, you're the reason we lost. If you don't go there this game, if you go there, you're going to be the reason we win. They have everything that you like at a restaurant. Service is quick. Atmosphere is phenomenal. 502 Cafe. We're going to get Chris Williams back on here just to tell you about everybody's back in school. So the menu's expanding. Everything's just swinging in a positive direction. People, 10 to 12 every single day. 3831 939 is the text line. 8150 939 is always the text line. See you later on, 8 o'clock. Beat FSU on 93.9 The Fan!